WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump confirms he's okayed covert CIA operations in Venezuela. CBS's Ed O'Keefe asked,
does the CIA have authority to take out Maduro?
Oh, I don't want to answer a question like that. That's a ridiculous question for me to be given. Not really a ridiculous question, but wouldn't it be a ridiculous question for me to answer?
Hamas returned the bodies of two more hostages to Israel last night, but the remains of 19 others are still unaccounted for. Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
Hamas said it has now returned all of the bodies of the hostages that it was able to reach. Israel denied the Hamas claim and said that Hamas is violating the terms of the ceasefire.
The highest paid soccer players in the world? Forbes' Justin Birnbaum on the magazine's new list.
Cristiano Ronaldo leads the way for the sixth time in the last decade, and he's trailed by his longtime rival, Lionel Messi.
Ronaldo makes $280 million a year in salary and endorsements. Messi, $130 million. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. A bill aimed at strengthening penalties against perpetrators of sextortion is heading to the governor's desk. Braden's law stems from the death of a D.C. Everest High School student, Braden Bone, who took his life after being targeted by an organized sexual extortion ring. The legislation establishes sexual extortion as a new crime and imposes severe penalties, including up to a 60-year sentence if the extortion results in the death of the victim. The bill passage comes less than 6 months after it was introduced to the legislature by a handful of legislators in April, including area reps Pat Snyder, Brent Jacobson, and John Spiros, joined by state senators Jesse James and Corey Tomchek in the effort. A spokesperson for Governor Tony Evers told WBAY in Green Bay that the governor intends to sign the legislation. A bill restricting student use of cell phones in Wisconsin's K-12 public schools passed the state Senate. The Senate author, Appleton Republican Rachel Cabral-Guevara, says it's a widely supported concept, citing a Marquette poll which found 89% of Wisconsinites support banning cell phone use during classroom instruction time. She said the devices are taking away from kids' learning and lawmakers have been asked to do something about it. The bill requires school boards to enact policies restricting cell phone use during instructional time, with allowances for teachers to okay student use of their cell phones for educational purposes. A survey by the State Department of Public Instruction found most school districts already have policies in place. The bill has already passed the state assembly, and it's unclear if Governor Tony Evers will sign the measure into law. You can find more news anytime at WXCO.fm. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Game three for the Brewers and Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and Dodgers battling to advance to the World Series next week, continuing tonight in Los Angeles. Second baseman Bryce Terang on Milwaukee being down 2-0.
We know where we're at, and we know what we got to do, and I trust these guys in the locker room to figure it out. And we got a good group of guys, and we've fought all year. So I think heading to L.A., I mean, we know what we got to do.
How tough have the Dodgers pitchers been? The Brewers, Jake Bowers.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are dialed in right now. Seems like you can go an entire game without seeing a pitch over the heart of the plate, so obviously it's tough. But that being said, we got to take it upon ourselves to try and do something to disrupt their timing and get them a little bit more uncomfortable on the mound.
Football, the Wisconsin Badgers are 2-4, and it doesn't get any easier. They host Ohio State, the number one ranked team in the nation, kickoff at 2:30 Saturday in Madison. The Packers are in Arizona on Sunday against the Cardinals at 3:25. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies today with a few showers around, mainly later in the afternoon, highs in the lower 60s. Scattered showers tonight, perhaps a rumble of thunder as well, lows in the lower 50s. On Friday, partly sunny and warm for mid-October, highs in the low to mid-70s. Currently, it's 49.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, I dive into the controversy over Stephen A. Smith's commentary about Jasmine Crockett. Can a sports commentator turn into a politician? I think not.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Nice to have you back here up north at 7:06 on a Thursday morning, October 16th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Coming up in our next half hour, we're going to be talking to Cindy Greening, who is one of the organizers of the many No Kings protests that'll be taking place around Wisconsin in nearly 100 locations on Saturday. And then there will be millions of people around the country who are protesting as well, the things that the Trump administration has been doing for the past 9 months here. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning from Tigerton, cloudy and 46 degrees with a beautiful sunrise. I'm going to have to take your word for it, Rob, because you're a little farther to the east than we are. So I haven't seen that sunrise yet, but it should be and forward to it. We also look forward to conversation with all kinds of folks, including candidates who are going to be part of next year's race. And you know, we try to let them know that this is a place where they can come in anytime, say hello, let us know what kind of things they're up to on their many campaigns. There are several candidates, for example, for governor, and it's always nice when one of them is able to drop in and give us an update on their race. And that is the case right now with State Senator Kelda Royce from Madison, who is running for governor and is in the was in the Chippewa Valley overnight and joins us from Eau Claire this morning. Kelda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. It's great to be with you.
It's good to see you as well. I know you've had a long, busy day of travel. Yeah, no doubt meeting a lot of folks. And of course, having to find time to make those phone calls as well that every candidate has to do. Talk about some of your recent travels.
Yeah, well, it's been great. Yesterday, we were in Jackson County, talked to about 24 very, very enthusiastic Democrats, and then we went to the people's protest in Eau Claire, and they've been continuously protesting for every week since Trump was inaugurated. That was really inspiring to see the community support. I was able to stop into the Eau Claire Leader Telegram and have an interview with Marshall Bauman there. And today I'll be at the Coffee Clutch in Eau Claire, and then later on to Chippewa Falls, meeting with some union folks, and finishing the night at Rusk County's Pizza and Politics. So it's a great, fun itinerary. And you can hear I'm a little hoarse because all I do is talk on the phone while we're in the car.
Absolutely, you do. I this is very reminiscent for me of 2018 when I was helping out my friend Dana Walks when he was running for governor. You are just on the road constantly. You are all the time talking to people and making new friends, finding new donors, telling people about your positions, and especially in a multiple candidate field, what it is about you, you know, that stands out. And so as far as the trip that you've been making right now, again, you're used to people knowing you around Madison. You do have some statewide name ID, but there's always new people to meet out there. So tell folks that you're going to meet some people for the first time today at the Eau Claire Democratic Party Coffee Clutch, something they do every week. It's a great little informal conversation. I've been there a few times myself. So you want to give us your kind of your opening remarks to the people in that room that aren't familiar with you?
Sure. I'm Kel DeRoyes. I'm a Democratic candidate for governor, and I've been serving in the state Senate since 2020. I previously served two terms in the assembly, but more importantly, I'm a small business owner, mom and stepmom of five. I'm an attorney by training, and I've been on the front lines in every progressive fight for about 25 years. So whatever our legislative situation is in 2027, we're going to need a governor who's capable of getting things done. And I have spent my professional life doing that in all kinds of tough situations. I'm really passionate about public education, about economic opportunity, raising wages and lowering costs for things like housing and childcare, and making sure that every Wisconsinite has healthcare. And these are going to be big, big fights that we're going to be up against in the next couple of years. We also need a governor who's going to stand up to Trump and be unequivocal and honest about what he is doing to our country and our freedoms.
We're talking to State Senator Kel DeRoyes, Democratic candidate for governor, who's visiting through the Chippewa Valley right now. And let's talk about the field in the race and how things were changed last week with the decision by Attorney General Josh Call not to join the race for governor, but instead to run for a third term as state attorney general. Now, there are impacts there, not only on the governor's race, on you and everybody else who'd already announced, but frankly, what it means for the state that Josh Call has decided to run for a third term and perhaps serve as attorney general for another 4 years. What in your mind overall is the big impact of Josh Call deciding what he decided?
Well, the biggest impact is that Josh Call, who has been a great attorney general for us, and especially in this really dangerous Trump era, is going to be able to continue doing that. I think he understands more than anyone what is at stake and why we need a Democratic attorney general. And at the end of the day, he is excellent at his job, and he did not want to leave Wisconsin in a position where we'd be struggling to elect a new governor and a new attorney general at the same time, just because it is so essential that we have a Democratic governor to protect us from the harms of the Republican regime in Washington.
This is also why political predictions are dangerous and why we appreciate people listening to this show, but don't ever wager money based on the things that I say, because I would not have been surprised if Josh Call had gotten into the governor's race. And what I told people when we'd have these conversations, my response was once, and then Kel DeRoyes is going to be a slam dunk attorney general, you know, for the state. But again, it all depends on what, you know, people make their decisions the way that they do. And so now you running for governor, I mean, there's still one or two question marks out there, people looking at whether former Lieutenant Governor, you know, Mandela Barnes will be getting into the race. You get the rumors about everybody, about Ron Kind and everybody else. But from a broad standpoint, looking at this field, I notice a lot of similarities to 2018. Lots of candidates. And, you know, frankly, as much as you want to stand out, but talking about the field, there's not a bad choice in the bunch. This is a nice problem for voters to have, to get to know you and everybody else in the race.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and a lot of these folks are friends of mine. They're people that I've worked with in recent years, folks I've mentored. And so that's a great choice. I mean, there definitely are some issue areas where there's differences between the candidates, among the candidates, and we'll certainly, I'm sure, be talking about those as the race continues. But yes, I mean, we do want to have robust primaries because I think it helps make our candidates stronger. I will say I'm the only candidate in the race that's been through a primary before. And so to have had the opportunity, as I have, to travel throughout the state of Wisconsin, not just in 2018, but over the last 5 years in the state Senate, and even beyond that, when I was the head of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin, I've always made it a priority to get out of Madison, get out of Milwaukee, and really connect with people around the state. I think that's really, really important for our next governor. And it's certainly going to be important for voters all around the state who are going to be participating in this primary.
You know, there is one candidate who's running ads already that we can hear on our radio network, and we're not going to get into the particulars of every candidate, but when candidate Ryan Sternad is running commercials saying, you know, basically running as the blue collar candidate, he's a beer vendor, you know, at American Family Field, and has, you know, the dirt under the fingernails aspect to it. It always kind of hits me, because as somebody who has served in elected office and has covered, you know, elected officials for all these years, you know, it's not It's not work to have to do what you and other people do. The work of representation, the work of legislating is, very much a real job that requires real experience to do.
Yeah, I think that is one thing I've learned in, I've run a successful small business for 13 years that I founded. I'm an attorney by training. I ran a statewide nonprofit focused on reproductive rights for 4 years, but I do think that the most difficult things that I have learned over 25 years are how to get things done with people whom you don't agree with all the time. And in Wisconsin, we are a purple state and everyone has good ideas. Everyone has something to offer. Not every idea is good, but what I have learned is that if you are willing and capable of digging into the details, building relationships and listening to people, you actually can get a lot done, even in situations that might seem politically very difficult. I've had some of my biggest political victories on passing bills and policies in Republican legislatures. And I think people would be surprised. They'd say, oh, Kel DeRoyce, she's from Madison. She's a Democrat. She's liberal. She's an abortion rights supporter. And they would be surprised to learn that I helped pass the first pro-choice law in 30 years through an anti-choice Republican assembly before I was even ever elected to anything. And you kind of get bruises and scars from these battles, and you learn and you become better and you mature. And I think, my hope is that I'm always going to continue learning and becoming better. But I feel like, yes, it is. There are fundamental skill sets that you learn over time doing this work. And those are going to be really important as we think about who's going to lead the state in the coming years.
Senator Kel DeRoyce, candidate for governor, is our guest. Now, contrast what you just said about your experience and having to work across the aisle to potentially get things done. Contrast that with one potential opponent, and that would be Congressman Tom Tiffany on the Republican side and running for governor, and where, again, he'll say, well, I was in the state Senate and now I've served in Congress. But where do you think the differences end when it comes to your level of experience versus his?
Well, I don't think Tom Tiffany has a lot of bipartisan accomplishments under his belt. In fact, I wonder, whether he's even holding regular town halls in his district. I think one thing that's been really disappointing about Tom Tiffany is that he's willing to just do whatever Trump wants, whether it's good for Wisconsin or not. And I think that's hard because we deserve here in Wisconsin leaders of any party who will think for themselves, who will be their own men and women, and not be beholden to what some party boss or special interest or corporate overlord tells them. And I think if you look at Tom Tiffany's voting record, that's the most disappointing thing about it. Whatever Trump wants, he's the rubber stamp. He's the yes man. Of course, he's voted for some heinous things. He's voted for a complete abortion ban at 6 weeks before most people even know they're pregnant. That's the kind of ban that are killing women in states that have implemented them since the Dobbs decision. He's voted to throw hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites off their health insurance and cause our premiums to skyrocket. That's not the kind of leadership Wisconsinites want.
No, and I also noticed he tried to have it both ways on abortion when he got into the race and was asked about it and said, well, I support state law as it is right now.
Oh, yeah, right. Give me a break. This is a guy that spent his whole career grandstanding on this issue and now, like so many other Republicans, wants to run away from it now that it's unpopular. But I think about his approach to lawmaking versus what I've spent the last few years doing, where I've worked closely with Republican colleagues in the legislature to try to expand access to nurse practitioners. We've got a huge healthcare workforce and healthcare provider shortage across the state. And for many years, I was the only Democrat on that bill. Actually, my own Democratic governor had vetoed it several times, but we compromised, we made changes, we worked with stakeholders, including physicians and nurses, and finally we were able to get that bill done. And that's going to have a positive impact in terms of people's ability to get healthcare, especially in rural areas of the state. That's the work of being governor. That's leadership.
Our guest is Senator Kel DeRoyce from Madison, candidate for governor, reporting in from the Chippewa Valley, where she's been touring throughout the state and is on her way to Rusk County later on today to continue her campaign, getting to meet people. She'll be at the Eau Claire Democratic Party Coffee Clutch at their headquarters a little bit later on this morning. Still ahead, we'll be talking to Cindy Greening, who's organizing some of the No Kings protest rallies that'll be held in nearly 100 places around Wisconsin coming up on Saturday. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Looking to turn your dream home into reality? K5 Construction is here to make it happen. From complete home builds to interior remodeling, decks and exterior upgrades, they handle it all. At K5, they focus on quality, excellence, and you. From design to final construction, they're with you every step of the way, on time and on budget. Whether it's your first home or your forever home, they're building your future. Build with confidence. Build with K5 Construction. Visit buildwithk5.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you, too, can live and serve part-time, close to home, by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things, like metals, into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh. The time is 7:22, overcast skies, 50 degrees here in downtown Wausau. And once again, we are very happy to welcome back to the program the chairperson of the Marathon County Democratic Party, Nancy Stensel. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you today?
Well, I'm just heading down to Stevens Point today. It just seems like it's Union Conference Month. This is the second one. Last week I was in Washington, D.C., and we were lobbying, and this week we're just having our little state convention.
I saw a lot of pictures from your travels in the last week, and I would ask, what is your feeling in terms of these discussions? Because you talk to a lot of folks out there, and we are at such a, I don't know, call it a tipping point in our country right now. What have you been hearing? Are you optimistic based on who you've talked to or not? What's the sense?
Well, I'm hopeful. I really am. You know, we started, my union sister has Derek Van Orden in the third CD, so we started there. And, of course, he's not there, but his staff was extremely rude. We walked in, they said, hey, you want a beer, want some cheese? They were very condescending, kind of sassy, smirking. And the staffer that we had took absolutely no notes, nothing. Then we went off to see Ron Johnson. And, again, you know, we saw staff. They were decent. They were polite, whatever, engaging. He did take notes, but he kept referring to their stakeholders. And I'm thinking, you know, we the voters are your stakeholders, and he's talking, the hospital association is his stakeholder. So definitely profits over people there. And Tom Tiffany's office had refused to even see us. They never responded. But we did do a drop-in, and we left information. I left my card saying, you know, I want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
I expect an answer here. And then we went to Tammy Baldwin's office and talked with her staff. And it's funny how you can walk into a room and feel welcome. And, you know, it's like, you know, they shake your hand. We're glad you're here. The girl that took care of us took a lot of notes. I'll make sure that these notes get to this one and this one that works on these things. And we will follow up with you. So that part was really, really great.
I got to ask you, last night word came down. The WASA Ethics Board has decided that the mayor, Doug Denny, violated the city's ethics code when he removed that ballot drop box from outside City Hall back in September of 2024. Initial response. Nancy?
Yep, I'm there.
Yeah, your response to that.
Original response is I'm glad that so far justice was served. I mean, the vote was unanimous, and it sends a strong message that you have no right to do that, to take away the rights of every voter in the city of Wausau. I'm very happy to see that, and then we will see what comes down from the state justice department yet on this. And like you and I have talked before, that this is not the first time that something like this has happened in the state of Wisconsin. There were two other incidences that I know about where this was done and a ballot box was removed. And so I'm pleased with the outcome. And I know the ethics committee, I felt really stuck to the facts and did their job. So I'm very happy to see that.
Isn't that an example of how government works? Because there was a lot of pressure being put on the ethics committee from the mayor and allies of the mayor and everybody else in terms of trying to push them to basically, hey, there's nothing here. Let it go. And yet they showed, I thought, incredible courage against political pressure. And that's something that we've seen not just from here in Wausau, but you'll see it around the elected officials around the state of Wisconsin. I think Van Orden's very good about, you know, putting people in very tight spots, putting pressure on. And of course, we see the president of the United States as well. I think what the people on this ethics committee did deserves incredible thanks, because it was not easy.
It does. Yeah, they really did a fine job. And like I said, I think that they're very professional about it. They stuck to the facts of what happened and made their decision from there. And they should very much be applauded for that. I am very thankful for them.
It's a bottom line that it needed to be ruled that this was wrong or else it would happen again, correct?
Correct. It is the clerk's job. It was out of his scope of duty. And I feel justice was definitely served in this, and it was served for the people of Wausau.
What about the state DOJ investigation? Is there anything in particular you'd like to see from that?
I am really very hopeful that maybe they were waiting until the city of Wausau made their decision before, you know, they would go ahead and make theirs on that level. But I'm very confident that they are going to see the same. That this was out of the mayor's.
Nancy?
Down pretty much the same.
Yeah, so there you are again. You kind of broke up there, but we understand that completely. And I guess we got about 30 seconds before we have to take a break. But
yes.
Isn't it good to see government work? Because right now we have so many folks that seem to be going in the opposite direction, trying to prove that government doesn't work. It can work with the right people who believe in it.
And it takes people to really make that government work. And, you know, and I'm very hopeful for spring elections that that, again, we can get some great people to step up and run, and that we can get back to normal.
Oh, we will talk about that and a whole bunch more at 8:22. More with Nancy Stensel then. The time is 7:30 on WXCO.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The Farmers for Free Trade RV rolled across to Wisconsin yesterday, gathering stories for Washington, D.C., from farmers impacted by tariffs. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. What are they hearing? We're going to share that with you next.
Farming has no set hours, no weekends off. The work can feel endless, but wrapping up that last acre makes it all worth it. At Rank Seed, we get it. We know the pain and joy of farming, because our family's been doing it since 1846. Our seed will work as hard as you do. We think you'll crack a smile when the combine rolls. Rank Seed. Results since 1846.
Brian Keel is the executive director of the Farmers for Free Trade movement, and he was in Westby, Wisconsin yesterday. The goal of their caravan is to gather stories from the heartland that they'll be sharing in Washington, D.C.
Well, as we've been traveling and as we've traveled through Wisconsin, we're talking with farmers and we're listening. And we're hearing the same story everywhere we go, which is that farmers are having a hard time right now. That input costs, whether that's fertilizer or tractor parts or farm chemicals, they're more expensive than they used to be. Part of that's because we're putting tariffs on stuff. Stuff coming into our country, we're putting a tax on it, and that's raising our prices. And then commodity prices are low. We're having a hard time selling our soybeans and our corn. And farmers are really getting squeezed in the middle of that.
Brian Keel, executive director of the Farmers for Free Trade movement in Wisconsin yesterday. Their RV will travel approximately 2,500 miles, started in Nebraska, will end in Washington, D.C. with an event featuring the Motorcade RV and participating members of Congress. Markets are next.
They say that good things come in threes. And now Pivot Bio Proven G3 is proving it. The first proven product with three modes of action is now available to feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Proven G3 locks in at the roots to deliver steady nutrition when and where your corn needs it most. Lock in and learn more at pivotbio.com/provenG3.
On Wednesday, the barrel cheese went up 3 cents to 174. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged. AA butter up three at 167 a pound. The November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning's up a nickel at 1634. December's up two at 1642. In overnight trade, December corn's up a half at 417. November soybeans up three and a half at 1010. July new crop wheat currently down a penny and three quarters, 537 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand as we roll our way into a Thursday trade session. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matinee on Air weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies today with a few showers around, mainly later in the afternoon, highs in the lower 60s. Scattered showers tonight, perhaps a rumble of thunder as well, lows in the lower 50s. On Friday, partly sunny and warm for mid-October, highs in the low to mid 70s. Currently, it's 49.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a very important case before the Supreme Court. Will they gut what remains of the Voting Rights Act? Jim Santel, our friend and colleague, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Before we visit with Cindy Greening to talk about the No Kings rally, a reminder that you can get our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. And in there, this morning, Ellie writes a note to remind us that on Fridays, she's looking to highlight local businesses. And sometimes it's local businesses overall, but this time around, this week, it's a much more specific. It is local pizza places. She calls them pizza places. I call them pizza joints. But if you got a favorite local pizza joint, send in a note to her, tell her about it, maybe send a photo as well, what makes the pizza so good, or give us a website so we can link to it. And she's going to put some of those in tomorrow morning's newsletter and certainly in future newsletters as well. So again, click subscribe in the banner at the top of our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. Cindy Greening is with Chippewa Valley Indivisible, one of many groups planning rallies in, last I counted, 85 places around Wisconsin coming up this weekend. It probably is more by now. And so not just the big cities, all kinds of small communities where people want to get out and make a statement about what they're seeing under the current administration. And Cindy Greening joins us now to tell us more about it. Cindy, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Pat. My count of this morning to get ready for this is 97.
97. There you go.
97 as of this morning. So we've got Brule, we've got Spooner, Hayward. We got them all over the place. Amory, you know, Rice Lake, little bitty Rice Lake is in the party. Rhinelander, of course.
Oh, my goodness. I read through every one of them on air yesterday and was amazed at the places, you know, like Eagle Rivers and Eagle River, yes. Antigo, Marinette, Menominee, you know, Prescott, little Juddville in Door County. All of these places are holding rallies on Saturday. Now, they're all at various times. Some might be as early as 9:30. Some might be noon. There might be some in the afternoon. So what you want to do is you want to head to the website nokings.org. To learn more, there's a big map on there. You can zoom in. You can click on the dot of the place that interests you. Cindy, why? Because you did this in June as well with a big turnout. Why do it again? Why is there that appetite out there to again have protests across the nation?
I think, one of the things is we're seeing a lot bigger numbers this time. Indivisible is guessing we might double. We had 4,500 in Eau Claire, so if it doubles, we'll have 9,000. Big numbers are easy for Eau Claire because, you know, it's a very Democratic area. But like in Little Bitty Chippewa, we had 362, and the number of signups in Chippewa are already well over double that. So I assume that's why a lot of the small towns are getting in. I think a lot of the folks are getting upset with what they're seeing in Chicago, in Portland, this thing about sending troops to, you know, abduct our neighbors. But I also think it's economic issues, the things that are going on with soybeans and like how much groceries cost. I think people who maybe may not have been paying attention because they don't use news sources that cover it are starting to feel it. And so what's happening is people are seeing they need to get out in the streets. Plus, you know, the congressional folks, especially on the Republican side, are not holding strong. And we have a few of those, as you know. And so the Democratic folks, you know, they can't hold it alone and they need us to come and get their back. We got to hold, you know, we got to cover their back for them and start to stand up so that people know we think this is a democracy and that the United States is by, for, and of the people. And we really lean into our government should work for us, everyone included and no one left out. And our money should help us and not just the billionaires and the millionaires and all the folks who are getting rich off this administration.
We're talking to Cindy Greening from Chippewa Valley Indivisible about the No Kings rallies coming up this weekend. And yesterday I went back and looked at your interview with Selena Heller about the event in June. And the joy on your face when you realized that this crowd was not only filled with everyday Americans who are progressive in nature, but moderate in nature, or even Republican in nature, who to them, I mean, they feel politically homeless right now because they don't want this degree of authoritarianism. But talk about, you know, the happiness that these are folks who could have just stayed home, but they want their voices to be heard as well.
You know, I have members of my family who voted for the other side, and we are seeing shifts in our family, in our community. We have people coming forward and talking about the big, ugly bill, talking about what's going on with healthcare. There have been a lot of healthcare stories lately about, you know, the thing, you know, ABC News covered it, and then last night, WAU. So there's been a lot of coverage about how we're struggling because our hospitals have closed, and they'll always say on the end, yeah, they're opening a new one, but that's 2028. That's a long time for people to get taken care of. So I think people want to come out, and we just sing and we walk, we march. We don't do a lot of, you know, political speeches or stuff. At our events, at our No Kings, we march through the community. We carry signs. We're going to be wearing inflatables. We got folks wearing crazy things like dinosaurs and axolotls and stuff like that, chickens. And then we've got folks who are just, you know, carrying signs. We also have an activist band. We've got an empty bucket drum band that's going to play and march with people. So we've got we'll have four lines going out of Owen Park at Eau Claire. Chippewa will be one march. But there'll be people will just be, you know, singing and chanting and having a good time. And they love to have, you know, clever costumes. I mean, like Portland's leading the way. Let's be honest. The Frog Brigade is killer. But even like what they're doing down in, you know, Chicago is really helping with just, you know, showing up. And that's the biggest thing we see, is that when people show up and say, like, this is our country and we want to stand for it and we want to bring back the values where everyone is taken care of and included, then we see that people want to be here and they want to have a good time.
And a part of the point of the costumes and things is, again, to attack this ridiculous notion that these are, you know, people from who are domestic terrorists, who are prone to violence and things like that. When, you know, the fact of the matter is, I'm not aware. Maybe I missed the meeting notices. Have you been to these Antifa meetings? And did you get your George Soros check? And I just missed it somehow. I get the feeling this is more like regular Americans than paid agitators.
It is. I wish someone would have had them reach out to me, because none of us get paid. We have been rallying in Eau Claire and Chippewa for 6 months now, every week. And a lot of the folks are 65 plus because they can get out during the day. But now we're having college students show up. We have high school students who are joining us. And so nobody's getting paid. They're there out of their commitment and love for this country.
Now, by the way, because, and we don't know if or when anything untoward might happen, but there is the possibility, given the climate on the political right now, that there may be people that try to, you know, heckle or worse. And I know that what I've seen is a real forceful set of instructions about essentially don't take the bait. And stay focused on what it is that you're there to do, the message you're there to deliver.
I'm glad you brought that up. You know, that we are seeing, I will be honest and tell you, I am seeing escalating trolls on the Indivisible page. Mostly, it's always white men. It is. But what I've noticed, they really react to the No King signs or any of the protest signs, and it's escalating right now. So the other side is doing a good job of making people be afraid of us, which is crazy, you know. But what we do is we tell people, don't feed the trolls. They're not going to change our mind. We're not going to change theirs. We stand for their right to free speech. If they want to stand on a corner and heckle us, just walk on by. We all get to be out and say our piece. And so we're all just marching together. We have trained our folks. We have over 75 folks that are acting as event marshals. They've been trained in de-escalation, how to handle it. We have a good relationship with both Eau Claire and Chippewa Police Departments. So they know what, you know, they know what the route plans are. We have, you know, direct contacts there. They stay in touch with us and plan so that everything stays safe. So we have things in place. So I'm expecting a little heckling. We had it last week at the rally. And sometimes, you know, when people drive by at the rallies, they honk and wave. But then there's the other group that gives us the half a peace sign, you know.
And that, I mean, that's America. If you keep it at that point, if you keep it above board that way, I was interested.
Exactly.
You talked about four different lines going out. So there's not a single route for protesters who want to do some parading. And it really shows the how things have kind of become a bit more sophisticated. You've taken the lessons that you learned from June in order to make these protests more effective.
Yeah, well, when we only had one line going out, and that 4,500 people, they actually crossed themselves. Someone was running a camera when it happened, and you could hear the roar coming from the crowd because they were excited there were so many of them. So if it doubles this time, we've created four possible routes. We've reached out to UWEC, to the students there. So we have a route that goes over there. We have a route, the same route that goes down to Phoenix Park. We have another one that goes over two bridges for the people who want to be real visible. And for the people who don't want to be visible at all, we march them around the community down Water Street and then Lake. So we've created four routes and more. We also have a low mobility route, which is basically in front of Owen Park. So for the folks that want to come out, because we've heard there are a lot, I don't know if you're familiar with the classics, we've heard there are a lot of folks, 92, 91, who we got a 91-year-old coming, you know, from, she's here with her daughter from Tennessee. She's like, can I come? Is there a place for me? And it's like, absolutely. In Owen Park, we have a small route in there. So just showing up to stand for our country and how much they love it and want to protect it, we got a good spot for them too.
We are talking to Cindy Greening from Chippewa Valley Indivisible. And if you want to learn more about where there is a No Kings rally in your community, go to nokings.org. It frankly, Cindy, might be easier to describe where there isn't going to be a rally this weekend.
I know. Because when one popped up in Brule and Amory, I couldn't believe it. You know, it's like Rice Lake. It's like they're all over the place. It's so exciting for me.
And I mean, having lived having worked in you know, West Bend and other places that are heavily Republican, and yet there are going to be rallies there because last time around they were well attended as well. There will be rallies in Brookfield and Waukesha, Muskego, Union Grove, as well as, you know, Racine, Kenosha, but also Shorewood. Just no shortage of communities, so that nobody will have to go far to be part of one of these events. And I'm just continued to be amazed at just all of the different areas you talked about. It can be just frustration overall, but it could be economic. It could be about healthcare. It could be about the military being sent to American streets. Everybody's got some kind of reason to attend and just stand for their particular part of the political spectrum.
The data centers and water and climate. I mean, we are seeing people really reacting. And what we say to people is, you know, America's under attack. It's time to stand up and help and protect her. So pick your area, pick your line, get involved, and just, you know, we're stronger together. Let's not leave out Menominee.
No,
friends in Menominee. Okay, I didn't say them. It's like, wait a minute, Menominee. We didn't say Menominee. Okay, sorry.
You're such a good Chippewa Valley person. Where you got to include Menominee if you're going to mention Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire. And but look, Ladysmith, Amory, you know, have them, Phillips and Rhinelander, all of these places that you can find over at nokings.org, and put them all together. We are looking forward to seeing the video later of the turnout in all of these many places. And again, it is really something that you've got 75 people that are helping organize this just for the Eau Claire one alone, which again is at Owen Park, 10 a.m. Saturday. Again, check the website for the exact time and location near you. Cindy Greening from Chippewa Valley Indivisible, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Good to see you, and good luck. Hope everything goes well tomorrow. All right. Coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO, see what stories he's following in the Wausau area. We'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets, and Joseph Pecky will be joining us as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Struggling with mental illness or supporting someone who is? NAMI Northwoods offers compassion and support for those affected by mental health conditions. Mental illness isn't a weakness, it's a medical condition. Recovery is possible. Call or text 715-432-0180 or visit NAMINorthwoods.org. In a crisis, call 988, the 24/7 suicide and crisis line, staffed by caring Wisconsinites. NAMI Northwoods, because no one should face mental illness alone.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. North Carolina already has an F grade from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project for having extremely uncompetitive voting districts. Nonetheless, its state House Speaker announced October 13th the legislature would gerrymander another GOP congressional seat before the 2026 midterms. It's the latest GOP attempt to cling to power in the U.S. House. In a social media post, North Carolina House Speaker Destin Hall said, "We will stand with the president, defend the GOP majority, and secure an additional Republican House seat," unquote, after an agreement was reached between House and Senate leadership, according to North Carolina Newsline. The state has a Democratic governor, and Trump won North Carolina over Harris by a narrow margin, 50.9% to 47.6%. Yet, currently, the GOP holds 10 of 14 of North Carolina's U.S. House seats. But Speaker Hall noted in his post, quote, "POTUS's victory sent a clear message. The voters are with him." GOP efforts in Texas, Missouri, and Utah have been challenged in the courts, but the GOP holds a 5-2 majority in the North Carolina Supreme Court, and its decisions have favored the legislature in recent years. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that federal courts have no role in partisan gerrymandering disputes. Action on a new congressional district map will begin the week of October 20th. We have local reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh. And again, we are joined by the chairperson of the Marathon County Democratic Party, Nancy Stensel. Nancy, welcome back.
Hey, good morning again.
Well, coming up Saturday, another No Kings rally, and not just around here, but around the country as well. But I wanted to give a quote. I wanted your response here to what our former congressman, the man who succeeded Dave Obey, Sean Duffy, had to say about the No Kings rally when he was speaking earlier this week on Fox Business. He said, quote, "The No Kings protests, Maria, are really frustrating. This is part of Antifa, paid protesters. It begs the question, who's funding it?" Nancy, Sean Duffy wants to know about who's funding this rally. Could you inform him?
Nobody is funding it. The only people funding it is, like, you know, people like you and I that have to go out and buy our own poster board and markers and things like that. There is nobody funding this at all.
The thing that's frustrating about it is that this is, again, the American people standing up to say, we don't like this aspect of what this administration is doing. And yet they have really focused this time around even much more than the last time around. What was it, in June, I believe it was, the last time in that general area? That, I mean, Republican after Republican after Republican are basically saying that, no, these are nobody believes this. Nobody is out there actually saying, no, Kings, we this creep of authoritarianism.
Right.
That is wrong.
Our numbers are really growing. No, there's nobody is paying us to do this. This is strictly, you know, volunteers, people, you know, you and I who have stepped up to say we've had more than enough. We're not going to put up with this anymore. And that, you know, it's time to stop. We're calling it for what it is. And you look in the state of Wisconsin alone, how many of these rallies there are going to be. I feel bad. I was asked to speak at the Rhinelander one, so, you know, I probably won't even make it back down in time for the Wausau one. But every little city there is having a rally this Saturday, and the numbers are huge.
The last time that the rally occurred, it was raining, and it's still in Rib Mountain. The folks were out there. They stayed out there.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah,
it was
like 600 and something, almost 700 people last time. And I'm sure it's going to be a much larger number this time. And then you look at, there's even more rallies this time.
And
you look at Donald Trump, too, and the fact that, you know, yesterday Hegseth and cutting the press from the White House.
Yeah.
So I guess my thought is you don't want the people to really know what's going on, do you? You want to be able to control the press, control everything so that you can ram your agenda down people's throats. People are tired of it. It's not going to happen.
And frankly, and I want one point that I think is important to be made here is that this is democracy in action. We are coming up on the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. 2026 is supposed to be a celebration of what this country is, but it's going to be very difficult when you see what this administration is doing. But this is about what the people are supposed to do. And also, people like Sean Duffy and Donald Trump and the rest of them, they're supposed to listen to the people, not just the people that vote for them, not this person that kiss their rear end all the time, all the people. That's frustrating.
You work for everybody, and it's very clear in this administration that they're not. Like I told you in the first segment where, you know, Ron Johnson's office is saying they have to talk to their stakeholders, and their stakeholders are some hospital association that is a for-profit, let's make some money at whose expense? Yours and my health? I am the voter. I am your stakeholder. And the Snow Kings is basically, this is what we're saying. You know, this country is ran by the people, not by rich billionaires.
And again, the No Kings rally here in the Wausau area will be on Saturday from 12 noon until 2 p.m. again at Rib Mountain Drive. So again,
correct, between Starling Lane and Parrott. And we're asking people to please be respectful. Park on side streets. Do not block driveways. Some of the parking lots between Hobby Lobby and Michaels are not public parking lots. And I mean, if there was one or two cars, that would be fine. But when you get a big rally like that, we don't want to irritate any of the businesses. We do business with them. And, you know, we want to be respectful to the area businesses. So please park where it is a public lot or on a side street. Try to carpool, things like that, so that we're not, you know, being in anybody's way.
And there won't be a booth for us to put in our vouchers to get paid, will there? No.
There's no time clock. Nobody's punching the clock. Nobody's getting paid for this. But and one of the greatest things is the camaraderie that is in these events. And again, you know, I ask the people out there that are coming to these events, consider stepping up and running.
Yeah.
Like just recently, we had the appointment for school board, and whereas I mean, I was disappointed. It's very not balanced gender wise
right.
Again, but I am thankful to the people that do step up and run for these positions, and I certainly hope the ones that didn't make it run again. It's so important.
Real quickly about that, Nancy. The thing that's frustrating about that vote was they made it a secret ballot. That's not right.
No, that is not right. It should be, I mean, it is a public school. It is our school board, and they are, again, accountable to us. And, you know, we should be able to know why. And very honestly, I was not happy with how the vote turned out because, like I said, the gender balance is not there. And the person that was elected was quite controversial last time when he had ran.
Yeah, but again, it's about the fight for real democracy, isn't it?
It is, and we will keep fighting. That's all we can do is keep fighting. Show up, people. Just show up, okay?
Thank you, Nancy. Have a great speech. I think you're getting ready to go, right?
Yes, I'm getting ready to go.
But we'll catch you in 2 weeks.
Okay, sounds great. Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump confirms he's authorized covert CIA operations in Venezuela. CBS's Weijia Jiang with more from the White House.
Asked if the CIA has authority to take Maduro out, President Trump said it would be ridiculous for him to answer that question, adding he believes Venezuela is, quote, feeling the heat.
Hamas has returned the remains of two more Israeli hostages, but says it will have difficulty finding the bodies of the 19 still missing. UN Ambassador Mike Waltz tells Fox,
there are still two Americans there, and we will do everything to get them out. There's an entire task force of senior American officials, senior American officers. Central Command has 200 troops there to help with this.
Greece is ready to keep people at their desks for a long time. CBS's Vicky Barker at the foreign desk.
The Greek parliament has just voted to allow some employers to demand 13-hour working days.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.